Kaya ramdam natin na marami tayong kapatid na wala na ngayon ay nasa Taiwan. Ay sanay wag lusubin ng China ang Taiwan habang sila naroon. Sana rin wag silang mapasama sa charismatic style of worship, but we miss them. Ngayon, itintingnan natin ang pagpapatuloy sa ating pagtatalakay ng isang napakahalagang paksa, Christian holiness. And last week, we considered those who are not committed at all to holy living. Pinignan natin ang dahilan yan. What is the cause of lack of commitment to holiness in many who claim to be Christian today? Ang ilang mga kadahilanan na tinignan natin ay decisionism, in evangelism, dahil basta ginawang ritual at formula ang pagtanggap sa Panginoon. Bigyan sila ng assurance na sila ay pupunta sa langit, and no real change of life. So people today have the assurance, false assurance of going to heaven even though there is no real commensurate change of life. Kaya no holiness. And then we also look at the increasingly popular teaching na tinatawag na hyper grace, na dahil sa biyaya, tanggal na lahat ng kasalanan, kaya wala ng confession of sin, wala ng mortification of sin, and of course, that too is wrong. Although it is increasingly popular in many churches, it is using a half-truth, the truth of grace removing sins in the aspect of justification, eh, ginawa na nilang panlahat-lahat. Wala nang kinalaman sa kasalanan ng Kristiyano. So this is a half-truth which leads to abusing of grace. And then we also looked at a teaching that is quite espoused by some Reformed teachers, but still, although not totally wrong, but not accurate, which is the positional holiness teaching. Gaya ng aking sinabi, at mas mapag-aaralan pa natin to sa susunod, holiness is about what happened to us, what we are becoming as a result of what God has done to us. So it's not just Christ is holy for us. We must be holy as a result of conversion. So yan yung last week, yung mga walang commitment. Ang titingnan natin ngayon ay yung tila may commitment to be holy, but in a wrong way. So we are looking at the wrong concepts of holiness. Eh, matutulad natin ito sa mga Hudyo na sinabi ni Pablo in Romans chapter 10 verse 2, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. So what is true of the Jews in the time of Paul is true of many today, that they seem to be zealous. Parang may sigasig sila, may gusto silang magpakabanal, pero not based on knowledge. So kung mali yung nakaraan, lack of commitment to holiness, this one is not for lack of commitment, but for a false concept of holiness. So ito ang titingnan natin na mga pinangahawakan ngayon, na uri ng kabanalan na hindi ito ang kabanalan ng bagong tipan. Well, a very popular idea is abstinence rules. Yung mga ayaw na lang gawin ito, bawal ito, bawal yan, at kapag sinunod nila ang mga bawal, yun na ang kabanalan para sa kanila. Now, 2 months ago, or last month rather, in October, pinag-aralan natin ang Reformation thoughts on holiness, at isa sa mga tinalakay natin doon ay yung asceticism. During the Middle Ages, naging popular ang mga ascetics. Ang mga ascetics ay yung mga tao na tinanggihan ng anumang bagay na makakapag-aliw sa katawan. So they often deprive themselves of any pleasure to the body, including food and other things. So this was in the Middle Ages. Ngayon, may katumbas ito sa ating panahon, and that is in terms of modern fundamentalism. Modern fundamentalism ay siguro kapalit ng kasunod sa Biblia, ay meron silang mga rules na pinangahawakan, mga batas na dapat ay bawal sa mga Kristiyano. At karaniwang ipinagbabawal ay yung iniisip nila na kakabit ng mundo. kapag inisip nila na ito ay gawain sa mundo, dapat hindi gawin ng Kristiyano. So, whether they actually have rules or by tradition they follow some rules, this is what is characteristic of fundamentalism. Eh, galing ako riyan at alam ko yung mga bagay na dapat hindi gawin ng isang Kristiyano dahil ito ay itinuturing na makamundo. So, halimbawa, isang fundamentalist writing, sinabi yung mga rules o principles ng dressing, healthy, make sure the limbs are at least as well clothed as the rest of the body. Limbs, the braso at legs. Modest, it should not expose the female form to public view. Simple, no extras, adornment, gaudy colors. Sinong makulay ang damit ninyo ngayon? Feminine, it should manifest a clear distinction from men. And in fact, some of them would even make the rule women cannot wear pants. Sa kanilang pagsasabi, nagaling ako sa ganung church na women are not allowed to wear pants because pants are the, para sa mga kalalakihan. So, yan ang kanilang sinasabi. And it should be Christian. Iniisip-isip ko, what's a Christian clothing? My faith? But should that be a style identified with or promoted by unacceptable special interest groups, etc.? So, isang halimbawa lang yan. And of course, ang pinaka-alam natin na kanilang pinagbabawal anything that pertains to drinking, alcohol, liquor, of course, smoking. Ito'y bawal. Ibig sabihin, para sa kanila, kasalanan na gawin. You just take a sip of these things makes it sinful. So this is their idea of holiness by following certain rules, and they are zealous about this. Again, when I was with this group, ay talagang ino-observe ko yung lahat ng rules na yan sa paniniwala na ito ang patunay na ako'y banal sa harap ng Diyos dahil may mga hindi ako ginagawa. Hindi manonood ng sine, hindi dadalo sa mga parties, sayawan, of course, smoking and drinking. All those things are bawal, and this is their idea of holiness. So, what is wrong with this? Ang logic nila, since the use of things of this world, for example, wine, can lead to sin, drunkenness, abstain. Yan ang kanilang logic. Since the use of a thing like wine leads to sin like drunkenness, then abstain. But if you follow that logic, eh kahit anong gamitin mo dito sa mundo, maaring mauwi sa kasalanan. Anything in this life can be used sinfully. So following that logic, eating food can lead to gluttony. Gluttony is sin. Eh kung following the logic, abstain ang paraan, abstain from food. At make sure it's ascetic. And then, many other things. Kapag lahat namang bagay, dahil makasalanan tayo, maaari nating magamit sa makasalanang paraan. Eh kung ang solusyon mo ay huwag nang gawin, huwag nang gamitin, eh maraming mahahagip na hindi mo naman gagawin. So the logic is faulty. Faulty or flawed. So, anong pagkakamali ng ganitong doktrina o ng ganitong pamamalakad? May mga doktrina ito na nilalabag. Una, ang kasalanan ay sa puso. Sin is of the heart. Ang kasalanan hindi ang material. Huwag mong tingnan ang alak o anumang mga bagay in themselves to be sin. They are not sinful because sin is in the heart. So even something that is holy, like the Bible, yan ang gagamitin nilang mga banal na bagay, even the Bible you can use with a sin in your heart. So you can use even holy things sinfully, and it doesn't mean that you use a thing of the world that makes it sin. Apostle Paul said in Romans 14:14, sa usapin ng mga kakainin, alam nyo, dito nga, ang pinag-uusapan dyan o pinagtatalunan ay paano yung karne na unang inalay sa idol's temple. Hindi mo na ba pwedeng kainin kasi inalay sa idol's temple. Eh, ang sabi ni Paul, I know and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So take note, paano nagiging unclean? State of the mind, state of the heart. Ano yung loob mo? Eh, yung bagay mismo, hindi unclean. Pero kapag ginamit mo na ang isip mo ay mali, ang isip mo ay marumi, ay nagkakasala ka. Hindi dahil mali ang bagay. So karne man yan o inumin man yan, hindi mismo mali iyon, kundi ang uri ng iyong pagtangkilik. And then, 1 Timothy 4, maliwanag din na, for everything created by God is good, nothing is to be rejected if it is received in thanksgiving. For then it is concentrated by the word of God and prayer. E nasa context ito na babala ni Pablo in 1 Timothy 4 verse 3, ang tinawag niyang doctrines of demons ay those who abstain from meat and forbidding to marry. So ang sinasabi nila, any eating of certain foods ay kasalanan, o a legitimate relationship within marriage is also kasalanan, tinawag ito ni Pablo na doctrines of demons. Why? Because they are compromising the goodness of God in providing creation. So sa creation, alam natin yung sunod-sunod na behold, it is good, ang mga ginawa ng Diyos ay mabuti, eh kapag sasabihin mong masama in itself, eh nilalabag mo ang doktrina ng creation. That things in themselves are good and it is the state of the heart. Then, pagdating sa bagong tipan, meron ng Christian liberty. Christian liberty is a New Testament blessing that sets the Christian free from ceremonial laws and uncleanness. So yung mga bagay na sa lumang tipan talagang bawal dahil ang sabi ng Galatians Chapter 4, it was the state of minority. So minor pa, parang sa bata. Pag minor pa ang bata, gumagawa ka ng mga rules. Bilang magulang, huwag kang nasa labas kapag gabi na. Hindi dahil immoral na nasa labas ka kapag gabi. But being minor, it is right to set rules. So ganun ang state ng Israel. In the Old Testament, the people of God were in a state of minority and therefore rules were proper. So among those rules na itinuturo, ceremonial, dietary laws, yung mga bawal na kainin. But in the New Testament, dahil sa ginawa ng Panginoon, binigyang katuparan na ang mga dati ay ceremonial, ginawa ng real in Christ, all those ceremonies had been canceled or had found their fulfillment, wala na yun. So, sa Galatians 5:1, ang liberty ay New Testament blessing. Hindi Old Testament, kundi New Testament blessing. We are to stand fast in the liberty. Eh, kinokorek ni Pablo dyan yung mga Galatians na tungo pa rin ang tungo sa mga customs and traditions rather than enjoy their liberty in Christ. So, that includes dietary prohibitions. They are no longer binding in the New Testament as they were in the Old Testament. Kung nabubuhay ka sa lumang tipan, talagang may mga bawal dahil may itinuturo ang Panginoon. Pero pagdating sa New Testament, tanggal na ang mga prohibitions na yon. May sinabi ang Panginoon sa Mark 7 when he challenged the Pharisees na sinasabi na dahil may kinaing bawal, nagpaparumi, ang sabi ng Panginoon, it doesn't go into the heart but into his stomach and then out of his body. And then, a parenthetical statement na napakahalaga, sinabi niya, in saying this, this is now Mark making a comment, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Lahat ng pagkain ay clean. Now, he is talking of ceremonial cleanness. Hindi natin sinasabing gusto mong kumain kahit ng mga unhygienic, ay clean pa rin yan. Hindi po, hindi ganun. Ang pinag-usapan ay ceremonial cleanness. Wala nang ceremonially unclean na dahil ganitong pagkain in itself ay unacceptable. Ang sabi ni Mark in commenting on Jesus' pronouncement, wala nang ceremonially unclean food. Kaya kung gusto mong kumain, at your own risk, kung bawal sa'yo, tapos kumain ka pa rin, medically wrong, pero hindi ceremonially unclean. So, kahit kayo, pinagtatalunan pa, dinuguan ba, bawal, etc., may sinabi na wala nang unclean ceremonially. And then, of course, familiar tayo sa Colossians, yung sinabi ni Paul na these are rudiments of the world. Ano yun? Touch not, taste not, handle not. And take note what he says. Things that are indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, but neglecting of the body, not in any honor by to the satisfying of the flesh. So, walang saysay. Kung magpapailalim ka sa ganyang mga bawal, hindi ka nagiging banal. Maaring may dahilan ka bakit mong pinagbabawal. Again, medically, hygiene, etc. Pero kung binagbabawal mo sa sarili mo for holiness, you are mistaken. You are not becoming more holy as a result of this bawal na mga bagay. So, holiness also, hindi lang sa diet, kundi place. Holiness does not attach to any place. Noon, meron. In the Old Testament, may piniling lugar kung saan mag-aalay sa Panginoon. May mga piniling mga tao, saserdote, na sila lang makapag-aalay sa Panginoon. Alam natin ang naging kasalanan ni Saul na dahil nahuli si Samuel, yeah, may kasalanan din yung nahuhuli pag nalilate. Pero dahil nalate si Samuel, napilitan si Saul na siya na ang mag-alay. And it is for that, even before his other sins, for that, we are told God rejected him. So hindi pwedeng kahit sino, hindi pwedeng kahit saang lugar, merong pinagbabatayang lugar. Pero hindi na ganyan sa bagong tipan. Ang sabi ng Panginoon sa Samaritan woman, sabi niya sa verse 21, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." At the time that they were talking, nag-uusap sila, meron pa, pinagtatanggol nga ni Jesus, ang tamang pagsamba ay sa Jerusalem. Pero hindi na yan ngayon. I would love to visit Jerusalem because I love history and I consider that a very historical place, pero hindi holy. Alisin natin anong mang pamahiin. Kuminsan, kahit mga Kristiyano, tingin nila sa pulpit, holy. Hindi po. Yan ang ginagamit, kasangkapan sa pangangaral, but that does not make the thing holy or yung simbahan, tinatawag na house of God, it is not. It is the people that constitute the church, not the place, not the meeting place. Although iniingatan natin, pero hindi holy. So, yan yung kalayaan. Hindi na pagkain, hindi na lugar ang nagpapabanal. So, the opposite grace, instead of abstinence, ay ang tinuturing sa Biblia ay moderation. Ibang Tagalog ng moderation. May pagpipigil or katamtaman. But moderation, hindi bawal, kundi iniaangkop mo sa iyong sariling kalagayan. It's like 1 Corinthians 6, kinukote ni Paul yung nagsasabi, "Everything is permissible for me." Yan ang sinasabi naman ng libertines, yung para sa kanila gawin lahat. Tama na everything is permissible, pero sinagot ni Paul, "Not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything." So ang punto niya riyan ay self-control. Although you are free, you must exercise self-control for higher reasons. Not because it is prohibited. So, halimbawa, kung dati kang alcoholic, nung ikaw ay unconverted, kaunting tikim lang ng isang patak na alak ay magpupukaw na sa iyong pagkauhaw sa alak at babalik ka sa alcoholism, eh gawin mong bawal sa iyo. Pero hindi dahil bawal talaga ang alak, kundi you have the tendency to be mastered. So, kung ano yung sa alak, ganun din sa iba. Na hindi bawal, pero maaring mapailalim ka. So, it's one of the considerations. Your ability in terms of the spiritual restraint. And then, iniisip rin, testimony. Yung sabi rin Apostol Pablo yan. And then, yung mastumble na kapatid. Kung gagawin mo ito, may gagayang kapatid dahil ginawa mo, pero para sa kanya, masama. Pero napagaya sa'yo, that's stumbling. Hindi ito yung nainis. Stumbling ay napatid. Ibig sabihin, sumunod sa'yo, kinapatiran niya yung iyong ginawa. Dahil hindi ka maingat. And that's what Paul means by getting stumbled. So, huwag mo rin gawin dahil may ma-stumble. At may iba pang dahilan. So, for higher reasons, you restrain even though you are free. May liberty ka, pero para sa Kristiyano, hindi lang yung liberty ang pangunahin. And in fact, today, Apostle Paul, ito, napakahalaga nito. Apostle Paul's liberty is tested by his freedom to say no. He is free to say no. Sa atin, pag sinabi nating freedom or liberty, pwede kong gawin. Yun lang ang isip natin ng liberty. Mali po iyon. Kay Apostle Paul, his liberty means he is free to say no for higher reasons. So, ito yung gawin natin. Hindi abstinence, kundi moderation. Ang ikalawa, binanggit ko ito during our R&R, hyper-spirituality. Anong hyper-spirituality? Ay yung naniniwala na ang espiritual na bagay na gagawin ng Kristiyano ay yung mga makalangit, makaiglesia. Pero sa labas na niyan, itinuturing na nilang unspiritual. So what happens is, on the one hand, merong defeatism. Defeatism ay yung iniisip mo ng pag nasa mundo ka, malayo sa iglesia, hindi ka talaga makapamumuhay ng banal. Kaya tanggap na nila na kailangan ka magkompromiso. So, gaya nung ginamit ko noon, sabi ng tatay, if you can't be an honor student, can't you at least cheat off one? Ibig sabihin, kung may honor student, mandaya ka na lang doon. Kung ganyan ang mentalidad, maling mentalidad. O yung karaniwan din, basta nasa gobyerno ka, wala kang magagawa. Magiging tiwali talaga. So, the idea is, pag-government, so don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't sell drugs. The government hates competition. Ibig sabihin, talagang ganito ang gobyerno. Eh kapag miyembro ka ng gobyerno, o empleyado ka ng gobyerno, nasa opisina ka na talagang tiwali, eh parang pakiramdam ng ibang Kristiyano, wala kang magawa, talagang ganyan. So, ang pagiging spiritual, kapag nasa iglesia lang, o makalangit, eh mali po yan because if you have to withdraw from something that is sinful, you must, rather than participate, even if it means gain. O yung iba naman ay minimalism. Ibig sabihin, ando sila sa mga bagay sa mundo, pero hahanap sila ng paraan para may spiritual silang gawin. So isang halimbawa, isipin nila soul winning in the job. So, habang nasa job sila, patago sila magpa-Bible study, gamitin yung oras. Eh, alam niyo po, of course, we love soul. We should be doing soul winning, but not in your office time kasi stealing yun. Binabayaran ka para gawin mo yung trabaho mo tapos gagamitin mo para sa interest mo. That is wrong. So, yung iba naman, tanggap na lang nila pag nasa trabaho sila, walang saya. Walang kagalakan. So, they just drag themselves. And these are people who we should pity in the sense na may marangal silang trabaho, pero dahil sa naturuan sila na ang magandang bagay lang sa Panginoon ay kapag gawain mo sa iglesia o makalangit. So ito yung mali kapag i-misinterpret natin na only what's done for Christ will last. Totoo yun, as long as you believe that what is done for Christ is whatever is under His Lordship, not just in the church. So, ang opposite nito, sa halip na ganito ang sitwasyon natin, minimalist or defeatist, ang tingin natin dapat sa gawain natin sa mundo ay vocation. Ibig sabihin, panawagan. Hindi mo ka lang maging pastor o manggagawa sa iglesia para meron kang vocation. This is one of the doctrines recovered by the Reformation. Sometimes we think of the Reformation only in terms of justification by faith. Actually, Luther and Calvin developed this doctrine of vocation dahil nung panahong yun, ang idea ng vocation is just priesthood. And they said, no, even the ordinary things we do for God is a vocation. Yan ay panawagan. So yung sinabi ni Paul, kahit pa sa slaves, we don't endorse slavery as a structure. But at the time that there was slavery in the New Testament, hindi sinabi ni Paul na lumaya sila, kundi not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Kung masasabi niya sa slaves, where the structure itself is wrong, but masasabi niya yan, how much more the things we do in this world? Mas magagawa natin para sa Panginoon. Kaya gawin natin ng may katapatan. In other words, you do it for God. Beyond your superior, beyond your boss, you are doing it for God. So you do it faithfully. Hindi lang kapag nakatingin o may threat sa iyo. And you do it with excellence. Pakahusayan mo. Wag lang minimalist na basta magawa mo yung trabaho tapos na. Kundi pakahusayan mo, dapat dyan tayo makilala. Yan ang patotoo ni Daniel, di ba? Hinanapan siya ng mga kasama niya ng mali sa trabaho. Instead, everything was excellent. At ang nahanap na lang nila ay nananalangin siya sa kanyang Panginoon. Ganun tayo dapat na kung hahanapan tayo ng mali sa trabaho, wala silang makikita kundi pinakahusayan natin. So, that is the second wrong idea of holiness, the idea that it is only spiritual if it is heavenly and something for the church. Now, yung pangatlo, I hesitate to include this, but this is getting increasingly popular, so I need to include this as well. And this is the idea of gay Christianity. Lumalawak ang paniniwala na maaari kang manatiling gay in your lifestyle as part of being human, but in everything else, you can be Christian. But you do not need, hindi mo kailang isuko ang pagkabading. This is what I need to challenge. Is homosexuality normal? Many are teaching that now. This is part of being human. It is normal and God will accept this. In everything else, I will commit myself to God, but not changing what I am. Yan ang sinasabi nila. So, and this is something we must challenge. Because sexual identity is defined by the body, not orientation. Kung meron kang gusto na hindi ayon sa ibinigay sa iyong pangangatawan, huwag mong ipilit, kundi kilalanin mo na ito ay mali at dapat mong baguhin, pagsisihan. In other words, the Bible still considers this as abomination. In Leviticus 20, and there are many more. If a man also lie with mankind, that is, with male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Now, we're not saying that the same punitive policy ay binding pa ngayon. But the sin is still sin. The sin of homosexuality. So, homosexual desire is sinful. Hindi ka pwedeng maging Kristiyano na tanggap mo lang ang gawain ng homosexuality. Kung ang desire ay nandoon, you must overcome it. And it can be overcome by grace. And homosexuals converted know the struggle, and yet they are victorious. In other words, I'm not talking here of something that is only theoretical. Marami ng patutuo na mga ganito ang kalagayan, may desire, and in fact, they lived a lifestyle of homosexuality, but at some point, they were converted. So, here is an example of two. One is Rosaria Butterfield, who was an open lesbian before she was converted, and the other is Christopher Yuan. Christopher Yuan, also a practicing homosexual before he was converted. No, kung kayo duda, nandito ang kanilang website. It's a website of homosexuals who were converted. They honestly admit their continuing struggle with homosexual desire, but they know it is sin. Now, let me quote from Christopher Yuan. Nagsulat siya ng isang book ng kanyang testimony out of a far country. At may sinabi siya roon that really struck me. He said, I had always thought that the opposite of homosexuality was heterosexuality. But actually, the opposite of homosexuality is holiness. Isang point niya, hindi ibig sabihin na-overcome na niya. Totally, andun pa rin ang desire. He's still struggling with it. But he knows that it's not that he is forcing himself to be heterosexual. Rather, he is, by the grace of God, insisting to be holy. And holiness means accept what God has made you to be. And your body tells you that you are either male or female. And my last example of transforming grace is Sam Albury. He was once a practicing gay who was converted and became a pastor. Don't look at me. But he became a pastor, and he is now pastoring, and he wrote a book, Is God Anti-Gay? At ito ang sinabi niya, desires for things God has forbidden are a reflection of how sin has distorted me, not how God has made me. That's very well said. Malimit po maririnig yung mga sasabihin nila, ganito ako ginawa ng Diyos. Hindi. Ganyan ka ginawa ng kasalanan kapag meron kang maling desire. In the same way that heterosexual desire terminating on someone other than your spouse is wrong desire, sinful desire. Hindi mo sasabihin, ganito ako ginawa ng Panginoon. Kundi makasalanan yun, dapat baguhin. And this is what Albury is saying. So, it is again a counterfeit holiness. If somebody is saying, I'll accept everything about Christianity, but I have to remain as I am, a gay, whether gay male or female, it is not acceptable. So, these are among the counterfeits na present ngayon, and the warning of Scripture is there are people who are having a form of godliness but denying its power. And let us not be godly or holy in form, whatever that form is, whether abstinence or hyper-spirituality or gay Christianity. They are not acceptable counterfeits. They are just form but no power. So any question?
Pastor, nabanggit nyo kanina yung tungkol sa dinuguan. Bakit dun sa First Jerusalem Council ay sinabihan pa rin yung mga Gentiles na to abstain from blood?
It's a good question, and there is a very good answer. Kung papansinin nyo yung mga binanggit doon, ay unang-una to abstain from idols, and after that, fornication, and then kasama yung blood. Now, yung idols doon is actually the umbrella. And everything that follows that is what happens in idolatrous worship. So yung fornication doon, na hindi yung fornication lang in general, yung fornication doon is temple prostitution. So in other words, what James, Jerusalem Council was saying, Jews should abstain from that because of the Gentiles, or rather the Gentiles should abstain from that because of the Jews. And he is not saying abstaining from blood is a total prohibition, kundi at that point that the Jews were, the Gentiles were being accepted into the church, they should not create anything that will offend the Jews, and that included those things done in idolatrous worship. So hindi sinasabing bawal mismo, because that will contradict what Mark already said, Jesus declared all foods clean, and Colossians 2 makes clear now we are not under do not touch, do not taste rules. That is a special rule for the Gentiles so as not to be offensive to Jewish Christians. Dahil makikita, wala nang ganyang ibang rule doon lang sa particular context na yon ng tension between Jews and Gentiles. And besides, ba't niya in-include pa yung fornication when everybody accepts that it is sin, part of the Ten Commandments? Because it's not talking of fornication in general, but fornication of the kind that happens in idolatrous worship. Ay.
Pastor, yung enactment of laws which would be against say creation mandate. For example, of course, in the United States, marami ng states na nag-legalize ng same-sex marriage. Would it be our Christian duty to be opposing such laws in case there would be this kind of initiatives? And I think there are initiatives already in the Congress. Would there be also place for civil disobedience in case it is enacted in the Philippines for Christians?
Yes, go ahead.
At tapos, halimbawa parang, Pastor, yung tolerance din, although of course wala pa dito sa Pilipinas, pero I think yung cases sa United States, yung mga Christian bakers na ayaw mag-bake ng cake for gay weddings, kung halimbawa mangyari yon, merong magpapagawa sa atin ng ganong klaseng work, can we oppose and do what our conscience would dictate based on our scriptural convictions?
Yeah, and we have no choice but to disobey that kind of law which is immoral. So ibig sabihin, pag ikaw ang pinipilit at may mga ganitong ang sitwasyon na banggit mo sa U.S., yung case ng baker na nag-refuse, pinanalo na niya yan sa Supreme Court. First, natalo siya sa state court. Nang ito'y akyat na sa Supreme Court ng Amerika, nanalo siya. Kinilala ang kalayaan niyang mag-refuse. Ang hinihintay ngayon ay yung florist, yung nag-refuse din na mag-serve ng flowers sa isang gay wedding, dinemanda. Ito namang gay na to, pwede naman silang kumuha ng ibang napapayag, but lang idemanda pa. Pero ganun ang nangyayari. And, of course, there are pastors who are also naiipit because kapag hiningi sila na mag-perform ng wedding, pwede rin sila idemanda. So, but we have no choice but to disobey such requirements because this is just immoral. Ito'y pinaglalaban na ngayon. Galing kami Singapore and isang malaking issue to ngayon doon dahil nasa level na malapit na maging batas ang same-sex marriage, and yun ang kinababahala ng mga pastors doon dahil maaari silang pilitin. So, pag may mga ganyang batas, same-sex marriage, abortion, which we consider immoral, we will have to not bow to the requirements. Other questions? Question ba? Ferdy?
Patungkol lang po, Pastor, sa mga wine or alak. Kasi ako, medyo hindi ako madaling gumawa ng tulog. Pero may mga pagkakataon na parang gusto kong magpabili kay Mare. Isang beer or isang gatang na lambanog. Shot-shot. Pero hindi nangyayari kasi nga, inisip ko, lalo doon sa amin, kahit saan tindahan ka bumili, kakakilala sa'yo. O pumunta ka man siguro sa convenience store, bukod sa mas mahal, baka rin pagbayad mo ng bayad mo, baka Kristiyano din. Ay, so Pastor, kinakailangan ko pa bang, alibawa, talagang hindi mo maiwasan, talagang bumili ka, kinakailangan pa bang magpaliwanag, hindi mo masama. Pero, hindi naman talaga, ako sa aking experience, talagang hirap akong gawin yun. Magpabili, okay na rin kasi bawas gastos. Pero, yun nga, Pastor.
Well, again, yung ganung intention, makatulong sa'yo in terms ng pagtulog. Again, these are not, hindi natin maaaring ituring na in itself kasalanan. So, kung may nabili ka, punta ka sa bahay. Pero ang point ay, hindi siya in itself kasalanan. Kaya nga, may mga occasions, even in the wedding at Cana, John chapter 2, Jesus himself performed a miracle, turning water into wine, because that shows it, in itself, it is not sin. Of course, it can become sinful and lead to drunkenness. Kaya sinabi kong example kanina, kung alcoholic ka nung nakalipas, ay huwag kang tumikim kung magiging udyok sa paglalasing na muli. But kung may edifying purpose, walang mali in itself. Kung may sumita sa'yo, sabi mo, pang Lord Supper. Paul.
Pastor, susundan ko na lang po yung sinabi ni Brother Ferdy. Using that as an example, in a gathering, pagkatapos meron tayong mga kapatid na medyo upo sa inom, kahit konti lang, but you like to serve wine because there are also others, Christian brothers, who would appreciate it as a treat. Ano po bang proper, what's the proper way to handle it? Should you serve wine and then explain to those who are totally opposed to it that we do it in moderation and we consider it acceptable, or should we just refrain from serving wine at all?
Well, that means there's nothing wrong serving wine, but you give every individual the freedom whether to take or not. So kung ayaw niya mag-take, don't take it as an offense. Ngayon, kung merong gusto, wag namang ma-offend yung ayaw. Yeah, meron tayo niya sa brotherhood, di ba? Pero ang point ay, there is a way, maaaring gawin ito ng mali. Kung nagiging dahilan na maudyukan siya sa dati niyang buhay ng alcoholism, hindi niya dapat gawin. Hindi dapat hatulan, husgahan ng ayaw uminom doon sa may dahilan na gamitin ito. So either way. In a gathering of Christians where they are duly taught na walang mali, this is matter of liberty, walang mali. Now, if I were gathering with fundamentalists, I will not take wine because that will be offensive to them. So yun, nasa occasion ng paggamit nito. Tess.
Ako po yung natutuwa at may mga gay na naging Christians. Napakadami ko pong estudyanteng mga, ang tawag nga po sa kanila, ang dami, LGBTQ, parang marami pa po eh. Ang attitude ko po kasi sa kanila ay parang ayoko silang sharean, parang ganun. Kasi parang hopeless ang tingin ko dati, parang mahirap. Pero siguro, by this, baka pwede nang simulan.
Ano yung Q?
Queer daw po.
Queer. Just as we are willing to share with any sinner the gospel, mayroon tayo dapat ganong kumpiyansa rin. If the Lord will convert someone who is openly gay, walang dahilan na hindi siya masyaran. I had my own experience of that. Na may binabible study ako na noon pa, many years ago, in the 90s. And one night, habang kami nag-Bible study, he suddenly broke down. And I said, what's wrong? Ay, yumakap pa siya sa akin. Sabi niya, bigla, Pastor, ako'y bakla. Tawad mo! hindi ko na ginawa. But I shared to him the gospel. And you know what? Many years after, I received an email from him na binago siya ng Panginoon. May pamilya na siya. In fact, one time, nag-attend pa siya rito. And in other words, I know from my own experience the overcoming power of the gospel, even of those na nasa ganung lifestyle. Now, may mga gumagamit ng Romans 1 na sinabi rin, God gave them up. It's God's prerogative, but you do not know who. Hindi mo alam kung sinong ginive up na. Huwag kang mag-give up. Dahil hindi mo alam kung gagamitin ka ng Panginoon. So, I have chosen, you can access yung website na binigay ko, and you see their testimonies of people who were openly gay, men and women, and yet grace changed them. Marianne.
Pastor, good morning po sa ating lahat. Pastor, gusto ko lang po itanong doon sa Joyless on the Job. Kung halimbawa, Pastor, for the many years na yun na yung job mo, and yet later pala doon after mga limbawa 14 years, parang nakaramdam ka na ng pagod. Since na yun lang din talaga yung way ng source of income mo. May mali ba na kung halimbawa magrereklamo ka na sa Panginoon na ganun, Lord, pagod na ako sa ganitong work. I want another or a new job since na wala ka namang ibang way kundi iyon lang talaga ang knowledge mo for tawag nito yung for your source of income.
Pwede mong dalhin sa Panginoon sa panalangin na magkaroon ng pagbabago sa job mo. May sinabi naman ganyan sa 1 Corinthians 7, if you were called to be a slave, then do it as a good slave. But if you can be free, then rather be free. Ibig sabihin, may option na kung may mas mabuti, kunin mo yung mas mabuti. Pero kung walang option, ibig sabihin ay ang option mo lang maging walang trabaho, humanap ka ng paraan na magkaroon ka ng kagalakan sa trabaho na yon. Beginning with the thought na ito ay marangal, ito ay mabuti, nakakagawa ng mabuti sa kapwa. So isipin mo yung mga mabuting bagay tungkol sa trabaho mo, paano mo mas lalong mapapahusay, at wag mong piliin na mawala ng trabaho. Piliin mo kung may maging mabuting, mas mabuting trabaho. Pero kung yun pa lang ang option, find a way na magkaroon ka ng kagalakan sa trabaho. And the last thought, Patricia.
Ano pong masasabi niyo sa mga Christians na nagpapatato?
Nagpapatato. Again, nothing wrong in of itself. And there are cultures na tattoos are considered noble, dignified. Pero we are in a culture na identified ang tattoos sa certain sectors and groups. And so I would not advise it. But if kung may makausap ako na may tattoo, hindi ko huhusgahan na mali ang kanyang buhay nang dahil sa tattoo. Pero ang point nga, in matters of liberty, isipin mo ang patotoo mo. What will people immediately think of you if the first impression ay you are tattooed? So, yun ang point kanina na matters of liberty, may freedom kang to say no for higher reasons. So, bago ka magpasya, kausapin mo muna. Other thoughts? Yes, Jonathan.
Gusto ko lang po i-share, last year kasi yung pumunta po kami sa Malaysia camp. One of the topic kasi po doon is how to minister to specific people, like people from Islam. One of the other groups of people na we talked about was yung sa LGBT people. Kasi there, we were made to listen to a parang preaching of a gay siya na he says he's a professing Christian, and then he used like some verses to promote yung that the Bible is okay with gay and such. And when you listen to it, it sounds convincing. But if you're knowledgeable of the Bible, you can start and you examine, you look back, you read it, you can see na it's not exactly like many times parang he takes it out of context. Pero I don't know how much people na gay were using the Bible to promote their, you know, being gay and all, but sometimes there might be some who might use verses, and I think we should be knowledgeable in the Bible and study so that when we encounter those people, we can show that that's not really how it is, and be able to minister to them as well.
Did you say it happened in a Malaysian camp?
And hindi pa, we had to listen to a video of someone.
Okay. So, parang example. And of course, we need to be biblically taught para ma-detect natin pag may mga ganyang justification. And I know that they will be using certain ideas to justify homosexuality. And I just gave you a clear and explicit statement of scripture, and there are many more na talagang mali, and maririn natin gamitin 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and following. May binanggit doon si Paul na mga kasalanan na hindi magmamana ng kaharian. At yung dalawa doon ay about homosexuality. The first is homosexual, the active person, and homosexual, the passive person, but both ay sinabi, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pero may binanggit si Paul the following verse, and such were some of you, but you were sanctified. So, ganung buhay nila noon. And in fact, in the first century, homosexuality was an accepted lifestyle. Alexander the Great had his boys na karelasyon niya. And he was a great general. So, ang point ay hindi lang kumbading sa kanyang kilos at pananamit, kundi maring lalaking-lalaking tingnan, and yet gay, and that's still sin. And there's no endorsing or justifying it from Scripture. So, any more? So, Pam.
Ano po masasabi niyo sa mga sa multiple ear piercings?
Yung alin?
Multiple ear piercings po.
Makakasama yata sa health yun. It is part ng ornaments ng mga kababaihan. Eh, minsan nakakakita na rin ako ng kalalakihan. Ganoon. But again, it's a matter of liberty. But if it becomes too attention, yun na ang attention na kukuha sa iyo, then you are making a wrong impression. So, a simple ornament for women, nothing wrong with that. But becoming an attention grabber, that certainly is not the kind of testimony na gusto mong ipakita sa mga tao. So, always think of your testimony. Hindi tayo sumasang-ayon sa mga rules ng pananamit, but may mga bagay kang dapat isipin tungkol sa pananamit. Ganun din sa mga bagay na malaya tayong gawin, pero isipin mo ang testimony, ang stumbled brethren, and your own individual capacity. So sana magmabalaan tayo sa mga counterfeit na ito. We want true holiness, not just in form, but in its power. Manalangin tayo. Dakila naming Diyos, sa aming mahabaging Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga natutunan namin ngayon, lalo sa na may kinalaman sa mga mali at huwad na pagpapakabanal na nangyayari at popular ngayon, gaya ng abstinence and hyper-spirituality or even gay Christianity. Nawa, Panginoon, ay mabalaan kami. Hindi kami dapat magkasya sa uri ng kabanalan at batay lang sa mga pinagbabawal, kundi magala kami sa aming kalayaan. Ngunit kalayaan na maari naming hindian nang dahil sa mas mahalagang kadahilan. Panalangin din namin na tanggapin namin ang aming mga trabaho sa mundo na panawagan mula sa iyo at dito namin maaring maranasan ang tunay na pagpapala mo sa mga panawagang ito. And Father, in this increasingly popular idea, notion that a man can keep his homosexual lifestyle though committing to be Christian in other ways, may we see the counterfeit of this idea and help us, Lord, to realize that there is grace that can overcome a wrong desire. So grant that in all of this, we will truly decide on the basis of your word and thinking of our testimony, thinking of our brethren, and thinking of our own spiritual capacity. So be with us, Lord, in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.